Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
I understand you say anything remotely negative about the NFL, you do at your own peril in sports radio, because you must all worship at the NFL altar. Everything they do has to be treated as sacrosanct. But to be talking about the 2025 draft now is among the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
I just found out Dolphins are picking a Kentucky D lineman.
I'm like, fantastic. That's
and Carson Beck's
Walker?
Going first over. Yeah,
oh,
Walker.
Oh,
he's going first overall to the Giants because, you know, they're trading up.
Almighty. Lord. Hey, it's Ask the Official has made its way back to the airwaves.
The prodigal son returns.
He has. Yay. They all come back. They all come back. Nathan Huber's with us here, and we're delighted that he's back doing sales work. So if he's calling you, answer his call, because he's going to be bringing you great opportunities here.
Absolutely. We'll grow your business.
But he's also been got a chance to do an NCAA regional, I think, for the first time.
I did. Right? I worked the Texas A&M regional, which was obviously a very exciting regional because you had Texas A&M, Texas, the Longhorns, Louisiana, which is, you know, the Raging Cajuns, and they can play baseball, and then Grambling, which was also a very good team as the four seed. So the Texas A&M Texas game was insane. I mean, they were three or four deep in the concourse, and it was nuts.
Where was it?
It was in A&M in College Station, and they, you know, get 10,000-11,000 people a game, and it's
and then they raided their coach. The Longhorns took the coach,
right?
Thinking they were going to bring, he was going to bring his staff and all his players, and instead, his assistant, who was going to come as a sitting coach, said, "No, I'm good." He went back to A&M,
yep.
And all the players stayed.
Yeah.
So the Texas people were a little pissed off because they were like, "We thought we were getting a whole bunch more than just a coach."
Yeah.
So
what's your Twitter?
My Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't have one. I got to stay hidden, man.
I've
got a burner account.
That's what he's saying.
We got to stay quiet. But no, it was a lot of fun, and I think I had 5 of the 8 teams in the College World Series I'd umpired.
Nice.
You
had Kentucky, I'm sure.
I had Kentucky. I had Florida. I had Texas A&M. I had all the SEC schools, and then one of the ACC schools. So I had 5.
Very nice.
So then it was fun. It was a fun. Fun College World Series to watch. It's a growing sport, and it's super popular now.
Now, having said that, I saw, you know, as always, whenever I see something come up in a baseball game, then I'm, I hadn't thought about that. Let me go ask the umpire.
Let's ask.
Watching the Brewers and the Rockies last night on my fabulous TV thing, which gets every game in the country. And so it was a very entertaining game. I mean, I know they score a lot of runs in Colorado, but this was a really entertaining game. Wound up 8-7. The Brewers lost in extra innings. There was a play where the guy, I don't know if he bunted or he hit a dribbler to first base, but it went down the first base line. He's running to first. He's running inside the line, which he's not in the box yet. So they were telling you that's okay. He's running in a straight line. He's inside the but he doesn't yet reach that 45.
The 45-foot line. He can run wherever he wants before he gets to the 45-foot line.
Then he gets and he goes into the lane there, and then the guy tries to tag him. And he veers out of the lane and touches the base, and the umpire calls him out and makes that gesture where they show out of the baseline where you take your hands and you push to the side. Okay, not talking about that specific play. But then the announcers got into a deep dive on the – there's a term for it where you establish
– Yes, the path. Runner.
The runner establishes his path to the next base.
Correct.
And he can go basically anywhere he wants to. But once he establishes that path, what's the rule for then when he would be called out of the baseline?
Yeah, so that it's I get annoyed when I hear announcers that maybe don't know the rule or they refer to, you know, rules that they might not understand. So the first thing you have to remember is down the first baseline and the third baseline, those white lines, a lot of people think those are baselines. Those are not baselines. They're foul lines.
That's
they have
a good point.
Absolutely nothing to do with where a runner needs to run. So when a runner, because you don't run in 90 degree, you don't do, you know,
like the
run to first,
turns.
Right, and then, or the Bugs Bunny cartoon where they're, you know, they're doing right angles when they're going. So a runner establishes his own baseline. And once he establishes that baseline, basically his torts, where he's going. So let's say he's rounding first base and now he's going to second base. He has to stay on that path. He can't veer off of that path. He can't zigzag. He can't do all that.
He can't veer off that path to avoid a tag.
To avoid a tag.
If he wants to run like a knucklehead.
He can run like a knucklehead. But if he's going, that's what I meant. If he's going to be tagged, he has to stay on that path and stay within that path. What I usually like to call it is a step and a reach.
Okay.
So if a fielder, that's the way I judge it. He has to stay within that line. He can't veer off 3 feet. He has to stay within that path, running to second base, running to third base. And if a fielder can step and reach and not tag him,
he's going out of the line.
He's out of the baselines with
that.
If he has to take one or two steps, he's out of the baselines. If he has to do more than a step and a reach, then he's out of the baseline. So it's people get confused because they think those are baselines and they're not. They're foul lines. So he can run zigzag, whatever he wants to do. But once he's established that path of, hey, here's how I'm running to second base, or here's how I'm running to first base. I didn't see the play, but my guess is he's running to first base. Pay no attention to the white line. That doesn't matter. What we're looking at is, did he stay in that same path? And it sounds like he didn't, because he went around to try to avoid a tag and then get back to first base. So he did not stay on his established path that he established himself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I explaining it? I'm using my hands here and no one can see me.
No, but the big thing, though, is he has to establish that path after the 45-foot line in that box, though, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, he doesn't.
So if he...
What is that box for, then?
That box is to protect him from a throw coming from either the third baseman charging in...
Or the catcher.
So he's protected as long as he runs in that box.
What do you mean by protected? If it hits him,
it's not interference. It's not interference. Okay. So as long as he is running what we say legally, well, that's how we define it. He's either running legally or he's running illegally.
Okay.
So let's say it's a bunt right out in front of first base. And now he's running in that box. He is not liable to be put out for interference if the ball hits him. That's the catcher's fault. That's the third baseman's fault. That's the pitcher's fault. He's protected. Now, if he's not running in that lane, let's say he's running now like in fair territory in the grass, which a lot of them do.
Yes.
Now he can be called for interference if he gets hit in the back or gets hit, you know, interferes with the throw. Now he's eligible to be put out. He's not protected. So that runner's lane, that's what we call it. It protects the runner from interference.
So it's interesting then, in this case, there was no throw. It was just to avoid a tag.
So that's a totally different rule now.
So he could have been running in foul territory.
He could have been running in foul territory because the throw's not coming from the catcher. So he can run in fair territory at that time, but all he's trying to do is avoid the tag of the first baseman. He's not going to be out for interference. He's going to be out for running out of the baselines. Does that make sense?
If he veers.
If he
made a straight line to the bag running in fair territory, that's legal to avoid a tag.
Yes, that would be legal as long as the throw is not coming from
running,
catcher.
For the sake of argument, he's running in fair territory.
Right.
Okay? The throw from the shortstop comes, and it's way up the home plate side for the first baseman.
Yeah.
So he comes off the bag.
To get him.
And he gets it, and then he goes to tag him, and the guy just kind of leans away, but he stays on that path of the one he's been running on. That's legal.
That's
right?
Totally legal.
Okay.
Absolutely. If he misses him on the tag and he stayed within that
path that he established.
Within a step and a reach. That's what I like to say.
I like that.
That's my judgment, and it's the same thing on overthrows. This is really getting inside baseball, but let's, you know, because of an overthrow, like a base awards, depending on if the throw was the first throw, you know, first throw by a shortstop or an intervening play happens, that's also a step and a reach. So let's say there's runners on first and second, ball to the shortstop. He fields it, and now he wants to try to tag that runner going to second and third. step and reach. If he misses him, that's still an intervening play, and then he overthrows the ball to first base. Now the base award is going to be different. So baseball has all those crazy rules.
Well, yeah. They usually come about because a play has happened.
A play has happened.
Like, I'll give you an example, and I don't give those. I won't mention the school because I really got kind of in trouble over this because I was pissed. Jamie had surgery on his arm.
Yeah.
And he had just come back, and it was a long process to come back. He's playing second base. It's a textbook double play ball to the shortstop. Shortstop gets it, and he's going to try and flip it to Jamie so he can make the pivot.
Okay.
The guy going from first to second plows him.
Okay.
And I said they should – that should. I don't know what the rule is. Can't he award a double play on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's
if
what
it's
I
interference
said.
On second base. But you also have to remember, so what they could, what the runner's responsibility is called the forced play slide rule. He has to either slide directly into the base, and this is to keep from those old school days of taking a shortstop out, taking
the
second
base. This wasn't even
barrel
at the
rolling.
Base yet.
Yeah.
He was just making his way to the base,
okay.
And the guy went out of his way to just truck him.
Then you absolutely can get a double play.
That's
so the runner is going to be the runner from first to second is going to be out for the interference, and we're getting the batter runner as well if he interfered with that play. So that is definitely, you know, a double play.
Throwing a kid out of the game.
But he has to, nowadays, they just have to slide directly into the base.
And that's a good rule.
It's a good rule.
That same thing at home plate, those stupid plays where the guy would get a 90-foot running start.
And annihilate somebody.
And knock the catcher. And that's my favorite story. The guy says, this is back in the 50s. Who knows if it's true or not? I forget who the catcher was. Plate to plate, and the guy plows him.
Yeah.
Just absolutely plows him. And the catcher's laying there, and the umpire says, making his name Huber, if you still got that ball, that man is out. And he says, Mr. Umpire, I don't even have my shin going.
Well, now, I had a bench-clearing brawl when I was a minor league umpire, and it started because of one of those.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. The catcher had the ball, got trucked, and he was out. He held the ball up. You know, yep, he's out. Well, then the catcher took the ball and threw it at the runner who had just plowed him.
Yep.
So everyone puffs their chests up. They come to the top of the step of the dugout. Everybody, you know, we're going to pretend to fight. So we calm everybody down.
We're going to pretend to fight.
This was that was the third out that ended the inning. Well, the very first pitch of the next,
in the guy's
boom, right in his ear hole. And I mean, we had the pitchers that were charting pitches climbing over the fences. Like it was, we ended up throwing out like 12 guys.
Wow!
Bat. Yeah.
Wow! So,
but it started over those plays at the plate.
Yeah,
but
that's a good decision to get rid of.
But back to that play at second, because you have to make sure, though, if just because there's contact,
but he, I mean,
doesn't mean there'll be
went out of his way to plow
to plowing. Because if let's say the second baseman is standing on second base and the runner slides directly into second,
that's
completely legal. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when they go out of their way, they veer off and don't slide directly in.
You know what it was? I take it back. It was even more egregious. It was a ground ball up the middle that was maybe 5 feet left of second base.
Okay.
He's waiting to field it.
Oh, Jamie was?
Yeah.
And then
the guy.
Well, then you have to get a double play on that because the runners have to give the offense a chance to field the ball. The runner's responsibility is to get out of the way there. He's got to avoid the fielder. So that would absolutely be – that's an easy play. That's a double play.
A double play, and the kid should have been tossed.
No, the runners have to get out of the way.
No. Oh, wow, really?
And he got back to the bench. His teammates are congratulating him, and I'm like, yeah, we just had $5,000 in hospital bills, and you just absolutely trucked
him
out for a dirty, garbagey play. You can run in front of him and try and screen him. I've seen guys do that. You can even, if you're smart, trying to get hit with the ball.
Yeah. Well, if he gets hit with the ball, he's out, though.
I know, but it's not a double play.
No. It was runner would be out.
Okay, that's great. You turned into that's smart. But this should have been a double play.
Yeah, it sounds like textbook, especially if he trucked the fielder who's trying to field the ball.
I'm not for pansy baseball, but this was dirty.
No, that's going to happen for sure. So
tell me, we haven't visited with you in a while. You've been off climbing the Himalayas, which was exciting, and saw the pictures. But now you're back to the real world. So
yeah, back to the real world.
What's been going on in the world of umpiring that gets your attention?
Well, everyone wants to talk about robot umpires. That seems to be popular. Whether that's going to happen or not, and you know, I had to tell. I think it was about a year ago. I had to tell Mark Blankenbaker, like he's like, I'm waiting to see a robot umpire. umpire, and I'm like, they're not. It's not RoboCop walking out.
Rolling out there, Rosie from
Inside.
Yeah, no, it's not RoboCop walking out there. It's just a computer system. But what they're doing now, I think the most fascinating thing is for the minor leagues and AAA, they've been testing, do they want to do a challenge system or do they want where the computer is calling all the time? And it looks like the players have definitely voted they like the challenge system. They like it. They don't want the computer calling it all the time because the computer is still going to call some egregious pitches, strikes. The computer doesn't take catcher presentation into things. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things that are, you know, make a pitch a ball or a strike. It's not just exactly where it crosses in the zone. That's, you know, this isn't Little League. There's going to be catcher presentation matters. Things like that matter.
Right.
So they have voted. I think it's going to start not next year in the big leagues, but the year after that where it's a challenge system.
I like it.
So if it's a 3-2 pitch and it's a borderline pitch and the umpire rings up a batter and the batter thinks the pitch was outside, all he has to do is tap his helmet. They're going to show it on the big screen like tennis, and boom, we're done. So the only people that can challenge it are the catcher or the hitter. They can't. A coach can't come from the dugout. It's got to come from a catcher or a hitter, and it takes 30 seconds tops. And I believe they're going to have three challenges each team per game. And if they get the challenge right, they get to keep it.
Keep it.
And if they don't, they move on.
They did it at the bats. They don't show it on the scoreboard, I don't think. I don't think they'd show it. Maybe they do.
Some places do.
But irrelevant how fast it is. And nobody gets bent out of shape.
Nobody gets
mad.
They
respect it. The catcher just taps his helmet too, right?
Yeah, catcher can tap his helmet saying, hey, I want to challenge that. And what that's done and what replay has done has taken away, you know, a lot of people like the argument aspect of baseball and the yelling and the kicking and the screaming and throwing the helmets and – but it just doesn't happen that way anymore. Nope. Not at the level, not at the AAA level.
Although the guy got thrown out yesterday for that baseline call.
Oh,
it was
the
most calm ejection. He was actually left the field laughing because he was like, I don't understand why I just got tossed. But he did. He rung him up and sent him.
Well, that's not reviewable. That's not a reviewable call. So that's an umpire's judgment. That's not one
Maybe
of the reviewable calls.
Maybe told him go away. There's nothing we can do about
it. Yeah, because, you know, nowadays, especially like when I'm in the SEC or when we're, you know, if I have a play at first base and they think I missed it, look at it. And I go look at it, and I'm sitting there nervous whether I got it right or wrong, and I'm sitting there on an earpiece waiting to find out whether they get the call right or not. And if I flip it, we flip it, and we go on, and no one says anything. And they're not allowed to argue after a review.
Well, you look like an idiot if you do. I mean, they just watch the video. What are you arguing with, the camera? I mean, what do you
– Now, every now and then, though, we will – if it's a really screwy play that has some explaining to do,
right,
we might explain it to them, but they're still not allowed to argue it.
Well, I guess that must have been why he was tossed, because they spent a long time explaining. I could see him gesturing why he called it, and I think they got the call right based on what you just told me.
Yeah.
But I guess he was like, I'm done talking about it. I think you know what he was mad at? You must go through this. He was arguing the first base umpire is the guy who made the gesture.
Right.
It's a cool gesture. It's like throwing garbage at you. Just take your hand and go like this. Okay. So he explained it to him. Then the home plate umpire came up and was talking to him. And the home plate umpire tossed him. And he was like, why did he throw me out? That's what he was mad at. He was like, why did he toss me? Yeah. I was talking to
this guy. Yeah. Really. So. We get that every now and then. They know exactly what to say to get thrown
out.
I'm
sure.
It's a personal thing. It's not a secret. When a guy gets thrown out of a baseball game in the professional ranks, college ranks, they got personal with you. So they could come out and say, Nathan, that's a horse spit call. And I can't do anything. But if he says, Nathan, your horse spit, now he's getting run.
Right.
So that's kind of the trigger. They know if they say something personal, if you get personal with an umpire, that's when you're going to get run, and they know that. Now, there's also some, you know, automatics if they draw a line or if they slam their helmet. I mean, they're getting
draw a line.
Yeah, if they
that
if,
one never made any sense to me. What the hell does that mean?
Like they're saying, well, the pitch was right there.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're saying. Pitch is right there. Oh. That's an automatic ejection. If he slams his helmet at your feet, he doesn't have to say anything. That's an automatic ejection.
Kicking the dirt on the shoes.
Well, they stand in the grass and they can't do that.
A little pro tip for you.
Yeah, pro tip.
stand in the grass. They can't kick
if you know that you just ran somebody, go stand in the grass. That way they can't kick dirt on you.
Now look at that.
Yeah.
Pro tips. I can see a guy reaching out two handfuls of grass and throwing them at him.
If they say something, they got personal. So he could, you know, the plate umpire might have walked up there and he said, you know, what the bleep are you doing here? And, you know, something like that. And so, because they'll do that a lot. If you're arguing with, if another umpire walks up, they'll say, like, what are you doing here? I'm having a conversation with this guy. And then now we're going to start arguing with two of us.
With you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. It is.
What's the most colorful ejection you've ever had?
Yeah, I was just about to say.
That I had?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever have like a manager like doing the army crawl and throwing stuff?
Oh, yeah. Joe Mikulik with the everybody's seen him, the guy that does the grenade. Like, the, you know, he took the rosin bag. That guy, I had him.
I don't know how you keep from laughing.
So he
had just been doubled over laughing at the guy.
So this was probably my best ejection, or at least most colorful. Joe Mikulik was a guy who's in the Rockies organization. Just, he hated me. He hated every umpire. And this was in single A, and it was a check swing. So I'm working first base. The kids, you know, tried to hold up his swing, but it hit him in the chest. So he's starting to run to first base, seeing, oh, you know, ball hit me, I get first base. Well, right. If you swing and the ball hits you, it's a strike.
Yeah, right.
So I'm telling myself, I'm like, if they appeal it, I'm banging it. I'm getting it. And sure enough, they came to me, and I'm like, boom, yeah, he went. And Joe Mikulik came firing out of the dugout like he was shot out of a cannon and just, boom, chest to chest, bumped me like 10 feet behind
him.
Really? So when they bump you, you have to let them know because they're getting suspended. And so I'm like, Joe, that's a bump. You're going to be suspended. He goes, you're GD right. Here's another one. And then bumped me again.
Runs into you again?
Bumped into me again. And I'm like, Joe, that's a second. He goes, let's make it a third. And then bumped me again, like all the way to right field.
So he got the hat trick.
Yeah, I got the hat trick. Yeah. So he ended up getting suspended like 9 games.
I would think.
It was kind of. But I mean, I've never seen. He came firing out of the dugout.
So mad.
Yeah, so mad. So no, they are pretty colorful. I've had, you know.
Yep. That wasn't funny. The other one was funny. The crawling on the stomach thing was hilarious.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, when he pulled out the rosin bag. And he took a second base. I called a guy out that his guy stole second, and he thought he was safe. I called him out, and he came running out and grabbed second base. He's like, you don't need this. You can't see it. And then he turned it over, and he said, will you please read the instructions on how this works? Which is pretty good.
Out of past and present managers, who would you want to throw out? Like anyone, like, ooh, back in the day, I would wish I could throw that guy out.
Now, this is pro baseball. I will not talk about college baseball when it comes to this kind of stuff. But pro baseball, some guys, because I think when they're funny, when they turn it over and say, hey, will you read the instructions on this base because you don't know how it works, you know, that kind of stuff. That's kind of funny. I think in pro ball, Earl Weaver would have been fun.
Yes.
And honestly, Bobby Cox from the Braves, that guy just looked, I mean, well, miserable all the time.
Did he lead the league in ejections?
Me or him?
No, Bobby Cox.
I thought
he led the league in ejections. Yeah, I just wrong about that.
I just like it when they're creative with it. Like, at least make me laugh.
Yeah, right.
You know, say
well,
something
that's
funny.
The manager last night, he was laughing. The guy just got tossed. He's laughing with the other umpire.
Yeah.
He starts laughing with the other team's catcher.
Yeah.
The two of them are laughing. I was like, well, he's having a good time.
Well, I mean, sometimes because you have these in the minor leagues or in the professional baseball, you have them so much.
Right.
You get to know them really well.
That's true.
And so you can figure out what you can get away with and what you can't with managers. I remember Rocket Wheeler in the Braves organization. We got along great, and I balled a pitch, a changeup that was right down the middle. Like, everyone knew it was right down the middle. And Rocket just goes up on the top of the steps, and he goes, Nate! And, like, held his arms out. And I just pointed to me. I was like, that's me. My fault, Rocket. And he goes, oh, okay. And then just turned around and went back. So I could get away with that with Rocket, but Joe Mikulik, no. I am not. If he would have yelled, Nate, I'd have been like, it's outside. Or, you know, I'd have said, you know, I'm not getting away with that with him. So
Bobby Cox has been ejected
162 times.
A whole season worth.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's insane.
Okay, stoplight challenge.
Yeah.
How many of the top 10 can you get? The second guy is a very – he really got –
Billy Martin up there.
Old-time manager. Billy Martin's not – amazingly, not in the top 15.
Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella's tied for 13th.
Earl Weaver's got to be up.
Earl Weaver is fourth with 96.
To think about, Chicago had Ozzie Guillen and Lou Piniella in the same city at the same time.
Guillen's not on this list. There's only one active manager that's on the list.
One active
Buck
manager.
Buck Showalter.
Nope. He's not managing.
Oh, yeah, he's not. You're right.
What? He hasn't managed in so long.
Francona?
I'm sorry, yeah. he's not managing anymore.
Yeah,
either.
I think Tito's done. I think it was like
but
health reasons.
He wouldn't be on the list either.
Yeah, wow. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a nice
Bruce
guy.
Bruce Bochy is 8.
Oh, Bochy.
Okay.
Here's your list. Bobby Cox, 162. John McGraw, who coached in the early
Wait, Leland's got to be on there, right?
Jim Leland?
Jim Leland's tied for 10.
I got to get a smoke a cigarette. Yeah. Throw me out.
Throw me out.
Leo DeRocher is third with 100.
Oh, that's a good one.
Earl Weaver's fourth with 96. Tony La Russa, fifth with 93. Frankie Frisch, tied, is no, by himself at 88. Oh, Ron Gardenhire's not managing anymore in the majors. He's 84th. Bruce Bochy's 7th, 84. Bruce Bochy, 83. Paul Richards, 82. Clark Griffith, 73. Jim Leland, 73. Joe Torre.
There you go. Joe Torre.
With 70. Clint Hurdle with 64. Lou Piniella with 64. And Bill Rigney with 64.
A friend of mine who was an up and down guy. Triple A up and down umpires, you know, they're kind of like big, you know, big league players. They go up and down, and he threw out La Russa on the balls and strikes. The batter was arguing it, and then La Russa comes running out, and so my friend, I'm not going to say his name because he's still an umpire, he looked at him, he said, "What are you doing out here? You're done," and just threw him out because they're not allowed to come out right. of the dugout. So he just said, "What are you doing? You're done." And then he was they were in a restaurant afterwards, and La Russa sent him a bottle of like wine or champagne. It was just like, hey, no hard feelings.
He probably wanted to get through. I read La Russa's book.
Yeah.
And he just what you talk about. He talks at length. It's actually troubling to some degree.
Yeah.
He said the single decision he hated the most was when to tell his pitcher to throw at the other hitter.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He said, because it's like the mafia.
Yeah.
You have to.
Here we go.
And you got to go out, and you have to, you know, talk in – you know, in kind of what's the word I'm looking for? In inferences, inferring,
in code,
than just come out and say throwing in his ear hole.
Yeah, and talking so, code.
Yeah, and he said it was. But if you don't, you know, he was talking about all these things. The players don't respect you. Then they don't feel like you're backing them up. And so he. But is that worth it? Was that really on purpose? Sometimes the ball does just get away from a guy. Yeah. And it's. I mean, oh my God, he was like. And then forget that. You have to do. It is like the mafia within a series.
Yeah.
So, like, if it happens in the first game, well, you know, it's a one-run game. Not going to do it now, but not tomorrow night.
You got to pick your spots.
It's unbelievable.
It's 9-1 now. It's open
nine
season.
9-1. It's fire away.
Do you use the term, because I can't remember who the umpire is, but it was the Terry Collins, like, you know.
Terry.
He said we're in the pot.
RS is in the jackpot now, too. He's like, you got to give us your shot.
Yeah, that's pretty old school stuff right there. Like, you're not going to see that too much. He just was saying that you got to let me, you know, get my shot in because they took a shot at us. Now you got to let me get my shot, is what he was saying.
That seems to have gone by the board a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe, you know what, it's a good idea when guys are throwing 100 miles an hour not to let them start throwing at each other's ear holes.
Probably.
Throw it at their butt.
Do you remember?
That's what they
throw
do.
Throw it at their backside. Yep.
Do you guys remember the Lou Piniella Aquafina commercial?
No.
No. I don't remember that one. But, I mean, and I've told you.
Piniella's out to argue.
That's honestly, that is not far in the minor leagues. Now, again, this doesn't happen in college baseball, and I don't like to talk about college baseball because I'm still doing it. But in the minor leagues, that literally happens. Like, Rocket Wheeler came out on me one time, and he said the same thing. He goes, Nate, I went to the movies last night. I got a bucket of popcorn, and it was the best damn bucket of popcorn I've ever had. He's like, I'm just out here. He goes, I thought you got the call right. Everyone else hated you, and I'm just out here, you know, putting on a show. And he's like, throw me out. And I was like, I'm not going to throw you out. You got to say something to get thrown out. And he's like, I'll figure out something to say. And, you know, we just kind of went back and forth, and I ended up running him, and he thought I got the call right. So now there.
Well, you might have been the one telling me the story. One of the guys refused to throw a guy out. He knew the guy was trying to
get out.
So he just let him go like an idiot. Because more and more bizarre he got, he just kept looking at him. And the guy was like, oh.
I guarantee the umpire is like, if I'm out here watching this, you're going to stay out here and watch this. I know you want to go and you want to drink a beer in the locker room, and I'm not letting you do it. So but then there's sometimes they're legit mad at you. So it just depends. Sometimes they're just putting on a show, and sometimes they are legit mad and think you're terrible.
Nathan Huber's with us here. Yeah. Not only baseball umpire, but still doing high school football.
Yeah, still doing high school
football. Are you still doing that thing where you got to try and recruit officials?
We kind of already went through that. Oh, but, I mean, we will always take on new football officials. We need them. We need them. We're not doing too bad at the high school level, but at the youth level is where we really need officials. So you can definitely reach out to me. If you're interested in doing officiating football, it's a lot of fun. It's a way to stay in shape. It's you get the best seat in the house. So yeah, we're still doing that.
My new quest. I'm too old to do that. I did in basketball. I want to be a track and field official because it looks like you just got to walk with the clipboard.
With the clipboard.
It's okay. We got the 100 meters going. I need Johnson, Thomas, Wilson. All right, Thomas, you're in lane two. Yeah. I don't have probably nothing like that, but that's what I
don't know.
Do you want to be the pistol guy?
There you go.
I wouldn't trust me with a pistol. No, those guys, I don't know. That I want the one like that I can't really screw it up, where people are not going to be yelling at me.
Yeah.
Like, that guy could screw it up. Yeah. I mean, that was a false start. No, you know, you have to judge. No, I just want to sit there with my clipboard, and say, Nathan Huber, 22 feet six. Very good, Nathan. Next, we got Johnson. Come on, Johnson. Okay. Because even then, you got to make some decisions. Like, you got to look and see, did the guy step over the line or the jump?
Yeah.
So you just want to be like the javelin guy? You just go out there and measure the javelin?
I
want to
be in the starting line, get everybody all set up, and then Nathan tells me, okay, that was a State finished first, okay, Tech was second, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we got the scoring right now. State's got 22 points. You're doing a good job. You're in charge. That guy's really...
I will say it's a little stressful nowadays because we do have a microscope on us, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It is... You know, every game's on TV now, at least in college baseball. Every game's on TV, replay, pitch analysis, reports.
The next challenge is not good. The technology's so good. It's only so much. How much better it can get, I don't know. But it's going to be how they use the technology.
Yeah.
Like baseball, with the tap the helmet thing, was a stroke of genius.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I've always said is, you know who's had it best for a long time? Tennis.
Yeah.
They've got it. It actually becomes part of the event. The guy challenging there. And then once it's made, everybody goes on with their lives. But the like football's getting out of control.
Yeah.
And basketball's getting the worst of all.
Yeah.
You can't get the game ended.
No.
Every play, and guys do it on purpose so they get free timeouts.
Yeah.
But that ticks me off, actually.
Yeah, and sometimes what I will add is a lot of people don't know sometimes the inside game. So even if I'm doing a replay and I'm going to look at the replay, I'm relying on folks to rewind it, fast forward slow it down, or sometimes the feed goes out. So just because they're in there a long time looking at it doesn't mean they're always looking at the play. They might be waiting on something. They might, you know, so it's just because they're in there for 3 minutes. Now, it does need to speed up, but I'm also an official when I go to look at a replay. The minute I see what I need to see, I'm done. Let's go.
For you.
Like, I don't need to see.
Another place that gets it right, but to your point, what made me think of it, cricket.
Yeah.
And if you're watching on TV, you can hear the dialogue.
Okay.
And you hear the guy say to him, go back three frames.
Yeah.
Back more.
Yeah.
Back more. Nope. Okay. I see that. That's good. Now change the angle.
Yeah.
Because what they want to see is there's various things in cricket, if you know the rules, to see if the ball hit the bat. Like, if it's like baseball.
Yeah.
If he hits it and hits the bat and then hits his leg, you can't be called out for what's called leg by wicket. So they have a thing that senses it on the bat if the ball hits it. It goes frame by frame.
Wow.
And it's like a line like you'd see for somebody's for heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, and if it hits the bat,
it goes up.
He knows it. All right, well, nope, didn't hit the bat. Now switch to the other side. And they then project where the ball will go if it hadn't hit the guy's leg.
Wow.
And if it then would hit the wicket. And it's cool. They go forward, you hear it goes, and you hear it.
That's very
creates
cool.
Creates the sound of the wickets going. So now you're on camera. He tells the guy, okay, make your signal. The out signal in cricket is one finger up, and he makes a signal. I was like, but it's complete transparency, which is fantastic as a fan. You kind of like that.
And I do like now that even in baseball and even in the SEC and the NCAA, we are now announcing the replay results.
Yes, also good.
Instead of just pointing to first base and calling safe, we actually say, here's what happened, here's the call. You know, now such and such team only has one challenge left, or they retain their challenge. So
I like
that's
that
good.
Too.
But, you know, another thing to think about that, you know, because people ask me, you know, because I've been in a replay booth or I've been replay looking at it, you also have to think about the verbiage that you're using on deciding whether a play is confirmed or overturned. So if I'm looking at a play and I say to myself, I think he tagged him, we can't use that.
Right.
Or I'm pretty sure he tagged him.
I wouldn't say that.
It has to be in your mind. Like, I can't say, well, I think he tags him right here, or I can assume he tags him right here. It has to be
decisive.
There's the tag. I see the glove move. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking for certain, especially like ball in the back of the mitt, those plays at first base that are so close.
Yeah, the bang bang ones.
We're looking for when the ball actually gets in the back of the mitt and the mitt has actually moved.
So I've often wondered about that. So when it's inside the parameters,
if it's inside
of the glove,
no
good.
It's no good. We got to see movement of the glove, the ball hitting the glove. We can't have it just in the webbing. It's got to be, we're looking for it. When did it actually hit the mitt? So that's the type of stuff that you look at. Movement. Did his jersey, you know, he tagged him. I saw the jersey move when the glove tagged him. So that's the type
of
stuff that we look at.
Here's where the jersey moves.
Do you? Do they have microphones in high school? Do you have to get on the microphone and say, no, it's 24, it's giving them the business down there like Jim?
In the playoffs, they do. Sometimes in the playoffs,
Do you ever get to do that?
No, I've done it in SEC play. Like, I had my introduction this year at Arkansas of being on the mic, which, you know, announcing to 12,000 Arkansas fans is a little little intimidating. So I've done it. I've done it in baseball in the SEC, but I have not done it in football because I'm not a white hat. The white hat does that.
Okay. Why don't you go buy yourself a white hat?
No, I'm a working man. The white hat doesn't work. He just stands back there and gets on camera, and the rest of us do all the work.
What's your favorite spot to be for football official?
I'm a line judge.
Okay. Yeah, so they don't move around. They just do one thing.
We just like on Friday. Well, we'll move around if we're doing little kids, but for the Friday nights, we're a particular position, so I do line judge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, I'll work on a Friday night with the same white hat, same umpire, same back judge. You know, we're a crew on Friday nights. Okay. So we work with the same folks.
So you're always the line judge? Or?
Yeah, always the line judge. Okay. Yep, always the line judge. And then baseball, I'll take second base every day.
You must have the most calls, the line judge.
Line judge, because we're spotting the ball. Yeah. We're deciding where the ball goes, which is not an exact science. I mean, it's kind of...
You told me about that. I didn't realize that. Yeah. They don't put it exactly where they move it.
We'll move it a little bit, depending on a little situational.
So it's on the line.
Yeah, so...
Lined up with...
Yeah, like, perfect example, if it's a punt, if it's a change of possessions and it's a punt, guy catches it, let's say he gets tackled on the 20-and-a-half-yard line, mm-hmm. I'm going to put that on the 21.
Right.
We're going to start a series of downs
on a yard line.
Right, okay. That makes
sense. It's not always like, well, he was down on the 20 and a half. Yeah, but we're just going to bump it up here to the 21. Yeah, you know, and most people know that. You know, it's not a big secret. Just a little, you know, trick of the trade.
Yeah, right. Well, it makes sense, though. You can have a more accurate spot. Yeah.
And same
forward.
Thing, let's say it's like, you know, second and eight, and he gets a 15-yard run. He's easily got a first down.
Right.
I'm going to put that on a yard line. I'm not going to put it on a half yard line. Now, if it's second and eight and he runs for seven and a half yards
right,
I'm putting it exactly where I have him down.
Right. That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally.
Yeah. So that's kind of the way we do it. And that's all the way up to the NFL.
Right.
Well, welcome back.
That. Yeah, excited to be back.
Go sell stuff.
I will. I'll go sell stuff. Appreciate you having me back. It's fun. I enjoy it.
So. Welcome back, buddy.
All right, guys. See you.
Nathan Huber, Ask the Official, one of our most popular segments. Oh, man, look at the
time. I got to get some imaging, yeah.
Got to leave.
Yeah, Kesty's going to join us tomorrow.
Well, he's not going to join us now because we got to leave.
Yeah, we got 90 seconds before we get out of here.
Oh, because you know what I was going to do? I think I was supposed to. We're probably in trouble.
Yeah,
we are in trouble now.
Well, no, Tuesday we didn't have to do one, but yesterday was such a debauchery of Windows reads. You probably should do one today.
But I can't. We're leaving.
Well, Tanner could wait a second, maybe. As you pull it, Tanner, no.
I have to open the drive.
Oh, yeah, Tanner does have to get out of here.
At my other show.
Oh, no! I have no choice! The siren played, it means it's time for a Universal Windows Direct Live read. Summer is here. It's only going to get hotter and hotter. Don't cool off the outside of your home this year. Call my guys at Universal Windows Direct. Super spacer technology is the key. Keeps the edge of the seal, making last longer and more efficiently. So your home is therefore cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter, more quiet all year round, and your utility bills are reduced. Universal Windows Direct backs it up. True lifetime warranty as long as you own your home, and a 20-year warranty to the next homeowner. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. That's 5 years. How do you get the process started? Give them a call for a free estimate. 502-487-5099. For every two windows you buy, you get two free. Buy four, get four, no limit. 502-487-5099. Schedule your free in-home estimate today. Buy two, get two free. Buy four, get four free. 0% financing for 60 months. That's 5 years. Tell them I told you to call, get an additional $250 off your project. For the last windows you'll ever need, go to UWD.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
Some local news we didn't mention, but we know of. Shane Bohannon on the TBT team officially.
Yeah, Luke just told us.
The number one player from the state of Kentucky, four-star edge rusher Javion Campbell, committing to UK, making Round Daddy very happy. And Steph's IG story, saying goodbye to his fellow Splash brother, Clay Thompson. Pretty emotional, got to be honest.
They had quite a run together. We'll be back tomorrow. One more go-around before the 4th of July break. See you then. Thanks for joining us. ESPN 680 105.7.